want to do in us this morning. Amen.
Paul says, these three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. And you know, it's the faith that Jesus died and resurrected that gives us the hope. But also it's the faith that the love of Christ was displayed for us in his death and his resurrection that enables us to love God, but also to be poured with that love and to give it to others. And what I felt in my heart today to share with you is about faith. You know, in Genesis 1, 1 to 3, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the beginning of our universe. From nothing, God created the time, it says in the beginning. And from nothing, God created the space, the heavens. From nothing, God created the substance, the earth. What kind of a faith? A limitless faith. Our God, it's eternal. He's Alpha and Omega. Our faith that he has given us is timeless. Our God is everywhere. And the faith that he has given us is borderless. And our God is really all known. And the faith that he has given us, it's borderless. It doesn't have any limit. And I love it how God started all the universe for us by creating nothing and by putting this kind of faith into actions. Because it means that we are placed in a universe that contains a limitless faith. But also it means that our destiny is to be a limitless faith people. In Hebrews 11:1 it says, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you know, it says in the Bible that by faith, Moses stretched his hand and he departed the seas. So that around 2 million people were able to go to walk through the dry land of the sea. And it says that it stayed like that for all the night, which means probably 10 hours. I don't know if you have been in an aqua park or in an aquarium, that is the right word. I was there last year when I was in Newcastle. Then those guys there took me in an aquarium for the first time. You see, I'm 52 years old, first time I went in an aquarium. But it was amazing to see all that, you know, the different fish, but even also the sharks and the water that was above you. Now imagine the people of Israel, that the waters were departed in both sides and all those fish and animals, whatever, were in both sides of them. Imagine the fear that they went through. What if those waters would fall on them? And it took a faith of only one man, Moses, not only to depart those waters, but to hold those waters until everyone went through. And the feeling that I have in my heart is that God is asking, would you be that one person who depart the waters for the ones who are in need, for the ones who feel trapped, who don't know what to do anymore in their life? Would you be that Moses then for the life of those people? And you know, then it continues and it says that it took only Peter, just one person again, that as Jesus was walking on the water and all the disciples were freaking out because they thought it was a ghost, then Peter asked Jesus, call me to walk on the water. It wasn't Jesus who called Peter. Peter took the initiative. And then Jesus responded to his initiative. And it was just the faith of Peter who made Peter to be the very first human after Jesus and the only one who was able to walk on the waters. And the question that I have inside of me is, would you and me be those people who'd make God move, who'd ask God, and God would respond to our prayers, so that, yes, we would see the impossible come and take place? where it looks like no way out. But then the other thing that impresses me is that Jesus took just the food of a little boy that at that time in the people of Israel wasn't even counted, the boys, the little kids and women, only men were counted. So he chose to use that little thing that this little boy had to multiply, and then he fed 5,000 men, which probably was like 15,000 people, just with the lunch of a little boy. And again, my answer to God is, and my question, even to every one of us here is, would I and you be that person that with whatever little we have in our hands, we have that kind of faith that we lift it up to the Father, say thank you like Jesus, and that would be a not just a solution, but a resolution for many hundred other people. You know, from what I've understood from the Bible is that faith doesn't deny the problem existence, but faith denies the influence of the problem in our life. But also faith doesn't speak to God about the problem. Faith speaks to the problem about God. And what I love also with faith is that faith doesn't come from striving, but faith comes from surrendering to God, being depending on Him. And that makes God move. You know, I love how, like, Jesus was fully human. And I totally believe that, because when I think about the Gethsemane Garden, it was an angel who came and helped Jesus. And usually, if he was fully God in that moment, God doesn't need help from angels, okay? But he was fully human in that moment. As I said, like, Jesus was fully human, and he did all the healings, all the miracles, okay? All whatever we know, resurrections and all of these things. I believe that he didn't do that to show us what God can do. I believe he showed that with one man, full of Holy Spirit, who walks in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, can do. And when I see that, it gives me hope. It gives me faith. Oh yeah. If I walk in obedience to God, in surrender with Him, my faith could do greater things. Because Jesus said also, even that He did all these miracles, He said, you will do greater things than me because I'm going to the Father. And my question is like, what do you mean, Jesus? You did the healing. You did the resurrections. You set people free. Okay, you even resurrected yourself. What do you mean greater things than you? What are those greater things than you that we can do it? And as I was praying and thinking about this, what it came to my mind is this. I felt God saying to me like, if you try to live in peace with everything and everyone, you will be called a peacemaker. But you will not move many mountains. And I've called you to move mountains. I've called you to be a world changer, not just to adapt to the world. And with that in my heart, then I felt God saying, let us not corrupt our hearts because of the circumstances, but let us leave our faith so the world could find Jesus in us and through us. I loved it how Jesus messed up every plan of the devil. He brought healing where was sickness. He brought faith where was unbelief. He brought hope where was hopeless. He even brought life where was death and resurrected people. I love it how he messed up any kind of funeral that he attended, literally. If you pay attention in the Bible, what did he do? Lazarus died. He went in the funeral and he resurrected. The daughter of Jairus died. He went again there and he resurrected. Okay? The son of the widow died. And again, he was just walking. The crowds were like crossing one another. And again, he resurrected. Even with his own funeral, he messed it up and he resurrected. I love how he just messed it up. All the devil's plan, but also all the social status. And he brought forth the kingdom. And what I feel in my heart is, let us be bold and courageous. Let us take the chance and take the risk. Because we are created for a time such as this. We are created for that. It comes in my heart the moment from Acts 12. It is the story when King Herod, he arrested James and he even killed James because of faith. And because he saw that the Israelites, they liked it. Then what? The Jews liked it. Then what he did? He arrested Peter also. And he was planning to do the same thing. And it says there in that passage that the church was desperate and they were praying nonstop for Peter. And I totally understand that. Peter wasn't just a disciple. Peter was the one that Jesus said, feed my sheep and take care of my little lambs. Peter was the one that stood up in the Acts 2 and 3,000 got saved. So Peter was the one that Jesus said, I'll build my church on you. You'll be my rock. And this Peter, their leader, was arrested and surely he would be killed unless God would intervene. And it says that Peter was kept in a prison and were like 16 soldiers all around him. He was in chains. And it was the night before Peter was taken to trial. And the church kept praying. And then as I continue reading the passage, my mind is like, okay, what Peter is doing in his last day or last night of his life while the church is praying. In verse 6 it says, the night before Herod was going to bring Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at him. My goodness. It says, Peter was sleeping. Doesn't say here that Peter was praying. It doesn't say that Peter was worshiping. Doesn't say that Peter was singing or praising God. Nothing. Then my question is something wrong with Peter's brain or what? Or Peter has understood and has found a kind of a faith that makes him fall asleep. Because it says there, when the angel went, an angel came in the cell where he was, probably the angel went through the walls because it doesn't say they opened the door. He had to struck Peter. Peter was so much in a deep sleep that he had to struck him to wake him up. And it's like, it doesn't make sense to me. So as I was thinking about this, and in my mind it came the passage in Mark 4, 35-41. Peter was part of the disciples in the boat when all the big storm came. Everyone in the boat was freaking out and they were like afraid that they would die. And what Jesus was doing in the boat? Jesus was sleeping. And we have the same pattern. Peter is sleeping. Why? If we are able to sleep in our storms, in our lives, in our difficulties, it means we have authority over them. It means that our faith has conquered already the situation. And Peter had experienced a faith that surpassed it any kind of nature law, any kind of circumstances. He had experienced the faith of Jesus Christ that God can do more things than we are able to do at the moment when we let him move first. And I love it how it says there that just Peter learned that the faithfulness and the obedience toward God, it brings forth just with one word that Jesus said, be still. And changes all the circumstances. Then it goes and says, the angel said to Peter, stand up. And it amazes me that Peter didn't ask the angel, how do I stand up when I'm in chains? Peter just stood up and the chains fall. God wanted for Peter to be set free from the chains, but if Peter didn't take that step of faith, the chains would not fall. Often we wait so much for God to move while God is waiting for us to move. And that is why the circumstances in our life don't change, because we keep waiting and God keeps waiting. And I hear God saying, have faith and stand up from your circumstance. And then you'll see that the chains would break down. Then it continues and it says that the angel told to Peter, put on your clothes and sandals, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. This is in Acts 12:8. The angel didn't say the destination to Peter, where they were going. He just told to Peter, clothe yourself and follow me. Nothing else. But what amazes me is this, that Peter didn't ask the angel where I am going and where are we going. He just followed. Which to me, it matters that Peter knew that the angel was sent from God and that was good enough for Peter. Why? Because Peter knew God. And I would like to encourage everyone. Doesn't matter where God invites you or me to go. As long as God says, follow me, and he is with us, that is good enough to know. Often we try to understand and rationalize things with our brain, with our thoughts. But that isn't what his faith looks like. Yes, understanding is good, and God says that we have to seek the wisdom and God's understanding. But before understanding comes a yes and a follow, and then you'll understand. I guess you'll agree with me. If disciples knew what they would go through when Jesus asked them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, maybe they would never follow him if they knew they would be persecuted and be tortured for Christ. If I knew literally what I would go through as I was pastoring a church with my husband for 14 years and then even leading YWAM now for 12 years, I don't think that I was able to say yes to God at that time, because it isn't easy. And never has been promised that it will be easy. But the amazing thing is that God is by your side, and every trial that comes, God gives you enough grace that you could walk through those things. What impresses me in all the stories, even with Moses that I said, God didn't take away the sea really for them. God just walked them through. God didn't took away the prison for Peter here. He just walked Peter through. We keep waiting for God to remove the circumstances around us instead of him walking us through those. God's miracle isn't just when God removes all the circumstance, it's when he walks us through. You know, in 2016, my youngest daughter got diagnosed with tumor. And it was 12 centimeters big, and it was so deep to the bone that broke her leg. For 6 months, she was in a cast from the hip to the toe and in a wheelchair. It was crazy. God didn't remove the tumor, but he walked us through in that. After 6 months of different medications and two surgeries and all of that, the doctors put artificial bone in her leg, mixed with her own bone. And you know the miracle that would happen? At the end, when they removed that, after 6 months, she didn't move at all and was in wheelchair, the doctor then, the orthopedic doctor, he measured both the legs. Usually every human, it has it 0.5 centimeter or more than that, one leg shorter from one another. Yes, we have the doctor here. When the doctor measured her legs, the sick leg was 0.05 centimeters shorter than the other one. And the doctor said, no way. She has an artificial bone there mixed. She has been no moving for 6 months in a wheelchair and in a cast. It can't be possible that her leg has been growing better than a normal human, unless God is in this. Because as I said, God walks us through things. God walks us through things, really. I just came back in on the 2nd of December from Poland before flying to England. And one of the things that we did was this. Was a pastor from one church there who was sick for 1 month. He had the whipping cough, you call it, which is very unusual for a grown-up, okay? And it was 1 month that he was in bed, had lost weight, and has lost even his voice. He heard that we were coming in his city and we would do ministry with another church, so he asked if we could meet, and we said, yeah, sure. So we went and the very first thing that we did, we started asking God, why is this sickness, God? And we gave words and then we prayed against things that have happened. And you know, as we on Sunday, this was on Friday, on Sunday we were preaching in the other church, then we heard the news that the pastor was for the first time after a month in his church back, and he even preached on the day he had gotten the voice back. God walks us through. God can walk us through if we trust him and if we believe him. Don't wait for him to remove the circumstances. He will walk us through. In Psalm 32:8 it says, I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'll guide you along the best, not just the good, the best pathway for your life. And it says, I'll advise you and watch over you. I'll protect over you. So let us do, guys. Let us do what God tells us, even in the lack of our understanding and in the lack of answers. The other thing that it just blows my mind in this story with Peter is that as Angel came in the cell, he walked through the walls. But then as they were going out, he didn't took Peter through the walls. I was like, come on, Angel, you can do this. But what happens is that it says that Angel and Peter was going through the prison, and then they faced the iron gate. And it says the iron gate opened itself. The angel didn't even command it. It just opened itself. And I was thinking, God, what does this mean? And what I felt in my heart is the iron gate recognized God's presence. I was like, my goodness. Not only people, but even their environment where you go recognizes God's presence that is inside of you and me. You know, the streets, the shops, the schools, the work where we go, not just the church here, but even the city, the forest, everything around recognizes God's presence in you. That is why the Bible says all the creation is waiting for the sons and daughter of God to be appear. Because through that, it appears God's presence. And everything around that, around us then responds to that God's presence. And it shifts the atmosphere. It shifts the things around us. The other thing that we can see in this passage is that it says, in the night before Herod was taking Peter to the trial, all this happened. Just the night before. And what I felt in my heart is that God is never late. God always is on time. As we trust him, he's always on time. So let's put our faith in him. That yes, God always would move, will take us through the things. But also God always will be on timing. Let us follow him, surrender and obey to him without knowing the answers of our questions. Then in Matthew 28, it says, go to all the nations and make disciples. Go to all the nations and make disciples. To me, at least, everything what it is written in the Bible is a commandment. I don't take it as an option. Which means when God says the first commandment, love your God with all your heart, you know all of that. But also when God says, go to all the nations and make disciples, to me it's the same thing. He's just commanding both. With that, I would like to encourage you. God isn't saying in the Bible, just go in your house and make disciples. Just go in your church and make disciples. I'm sorry, but Jesus didn't die for us to be able to go to a church. Jesus died for us to bring the kingdom of God everywhere around us, in our cities and in our nations and beyond our nations. You can do more than just praying. You can do more than just believing for yourself. You can change this nation. You can change this city, Sheffield. But you can change England. If God says in Genesis, go and rule the earth. If it says also in Ephesians that God, Jesus Christ, as he ascended, he gave the authority to all of us. and he gave us access to the throne room of God. For what? To revoke whatever the enemy wants to do and to speak forth, to declare what God wants to do. Then you and me, we can change it. I love coming back to England, and I'll come several times throughout the year in churches, but also in YWAM. I love seeing what God is doing in this nation. The younger generation is coming more and more toward God, and they need you. They need your experience. They need your faith. Maybe to you it looks like a little faith, but no. God says just a mustard seed, and then you can change and can move the mountains. Can I pray for you? For that faith. God, I say thank you, God. Thank you that you say in Bible to have faith in God, but also to have the faith of God. And the faith of God is limitless. It is timeless. It is spaceless, God. It's borderless. And in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone in this church, God, that an impartation of that faith, limitless, timeless, God, borderless, will be just imparted everywhere. And in Jesus' name, God, I pray for the opening of the spiritual eyes of everyone and the hearts and the ears, God, that we would be able to hear it clearly, your voice, as you guide us through the circumstances, God. And I pray for that kind of faith that will respond to you, God, even in the lack of answers, even in the lack of solutions. And we will be the ones, God, who instead of waiting will bring forth the resolution, God, in this city and in this nation. In Jesus' name, God, you died and resurrected. And our God is a powerful God. And it's a live God. That is what we celebrate today, God. And in Jesus' name, I pray, God, for a new and a deep revelation of God that died and resurrected, of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray, may the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom to get to know you, Jesus, in your power and in your authority, in your love and in your surrender, in your humbleness, God, and in your gentleness, how your heart has been moved by compassion. May that spirit, God, be poured over this church and over this city. And in Jesus' name, I call the city of Sheffield, God, back to the identity and destiny, God, that you have called this city to be. Let this city be a house of praises. Let this city be recognized and known in this nation for a city that is a light that stands on a hill, a city that reflects God, a city where the wells of your Holy Spirit, God, will just be keep pouring, and people from all around the nation will come to take from that well. There is so much inheritance in this nation. And there is so much inheritance in the land of this city, God. Just open up those wells. Open up those wells, God. And let it be, God, 100 times more the harvest that you have for this city. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, move it, God. Yes. I pray, just lift up the hearts of the people in this church and put in their hearts a desire, a burning desire, God, for prayers and fasting, God, for coming before you, for making room, God, for you to move. It took only 10 days, God, the disciples to create the room for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. Oh, God, don't know how many days it would take to this church to create the space for your Spirit to move. I just pray, give the same heart, God. Give the same burning heart to pray and wait for the pouring of your Spirit, God, in this church and in this city. Bring the same unity and mindset, God, so that your Spirit could be moved here. And I just speak out, God. May they be blessed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may your will, God, be done on this city as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.